Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living a Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Our teacher this week is David Hoffmeister. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and David is the author of a number of books, including his most recent book, Unwind Your Mind, Back to God, Experiencing A Course in Miracles. And David and I have known each other for a number of years. He was in the first Living A Course in Miracles series back in 2011, and we have done some beautiful classes together. I know this will be another one. Our theme in this series of Living A Course in Miracles classes is allowing the miracle, and David's topic is expanding awareness, miracles in expanding awareness. So just before we dive into the topic, I'm going to say a prayer and bless us as we begin. So I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart, take a breath of love and gratitude with me. As we open ourselves to the infinite love, the true identity of each and every one of us is the Christ light, that Christ presence, and we are welcoming the Christ to our mind right now. So grateful and so thankful to open ourselves to the unlimited, the unprecedented love of God live streaming through our mind, our heart. In the name of God, beloved I am that I am, we declare that we are worthy of our Christ nature, and we welcome that. We're willing to see it in our brothers and sisters and recognize it in ourselves. So grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our healing and our expansion with everyone because we're one with them. What I know is that our class, our conversation is blessed and a blessing. In gratitude, we joyfully allow the miracle to be our very life. In gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 So, David, I'm going to start by asking you to help us define what is a miracle.
Well, a miracle is really like almost an intercession by the Holy Spirit coming into our mind and lifting us to a higher order of thought, a higher sphere. Sometimes I call it the celestial sphere, in which we just are so peaceful because we're able to just see the false as false. And I like that definition, that a miracle does not create nor really change at all. It merely looks on devastation and reminds the mind that what it sees is false. So it's very, very nurturing to our awakening minds.
Yes. And in it's interesting, you know, the how we open ourselves to that miracle is in large part simply being willing to recognize the unity of all life. And I was thinking about this earlier today, that years ago I interviewed Ken Wapnick, and I asked him, I said, Ken, how do you explain, share with people how to comprehend the oneness of all life? And Ken said to me, oh, Jennifer, you can't understand it. It's just, it's incomprehensible. Don't even try. But, you know, I actually feel like it's important to be willing to really comprehend the unity of all life and to bear witness to it. And that creates this massive opening in our awareness. So I wondered, David, if you would share a very practical tool about how to open the mind to the unity of all life, the oneness.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is when you said it's important, that reminds me to make it a priority, to make it the top priority or the goal. And in this world where there are so many goals and the ego has set up a very complex world with many pursuits and many distractions, to have peace of mind or to have the miracle or a sense of love in your heart as the goal that you can focus on, that you hold in front every day, is just so, so important. Because when we look at the body, for example, if we're letting the body be used by the Holy Spirit as a communication device, then that right away puts you ahead of the game, because the ego wants to see the body as an end and see it as kind of like something you can focus your whole life towards, its skills, abilities, comforts, conveniences, and pride and power, and all kinds of things that really distract away. So I think the most important thing right off the bat in opening up to the Holy Spirit is to have this expanded awareness as a priority.
Definitely. And it's interesting how many people actually don't. So they're actually studying spirituality and studying spiritual without really having that goal, expanding awareness.
Yeah, it's very much like trying to bring truth to the illusion when you have all kinds of goals, when you're studying something, but you really aren't putting it as a priority.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this a couple of years ago, that I kind of came out of the closet and said, you know, I really am intending to awaken. I'm intending to be completely enlightened, and I'm not thinking, oh, next lifetime or the lifetime. No, this is it. Let's get her done. And there's no advantage to postponing it. And why would I do that unless I thought I wasn't worthy?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's really like self-honesty in the truest sense, where you see something that's important, you see it's valuable, and you're going to invest your time, your energy, you're going to channel all of your available resources in one direction if you realize that that direction will free your mind. So it's kind of like that passage in the Bible and the Gospels about a man who finds the great pearl of great wisdom and basically sells everything he has to purchase the land, you know, to get this. It's a focus, you know, it's like really those parables just reminded me, just put your focus in the right place, and then the things that the rewards of that will be very evident in your awareness.
And for many spiritual students, there is an intellectual approach, And A Course in Miracles is very intellectual for many people. It seems that it is an intellectual pursuit to understand A Course in Miracles. And for me, coming from my science of mind background, I find A Course in Miracles is extremely heart-centered. But I noticed that for myself, I used an intellectual approach to spirituality. And years ago, I did a flip, and I decided to really make it all about my heart. And that has made all the difference for me, because that's when I made the decision, okay, I'm all in for God. I'm not going to hold anything back at all anymore. And for someone who might be really coming at it from an intellectual level, they're going to be missing out on this expanded awareness, because it's not an intellectual thing. And how would you help people identify whether or not they're really approaching it from the heart or the intellect? How do they discern that?
Well, it's first a reminder that as Helen Schuckman said, unless a pathway to God for intellectuals, but I wouldn't say the course itself is intellectual. I would say that it is for intellectuals. So when you're talking about like a heart-centered approach, I find it is very direct. It means what it says. It offers you a theoretical background just to kind of set your mind in the right direction and kind of prime the mind for awakening, for a very deep experiential awakening. And then it's very practical with its workbook lessons that don't take a lot of time to do, and you can do them in a wide variety of settings. You don't have to be in a particular quiet setting or be kind of off away from people, because the lessons apply to everything that's part of perception. And then the Manual for Teachers is really, a launch pad into letting the Holy Spirit work through you in a very deep experiential way and build your confidence in performing miracles very, very quickly. So it's when it's described as an intellectual tool, I think that it's the ego that likes to study itself. It's the ego that likes to cling to concepts and hold on to self-concepts. When you find yourself feeling a bit stagnant, or you find yourself just kind of going to read so many paragraphs, or you kind of turn it into a ritual with a focus on time, then you might say that intellectualizing is coming in, which is the ego's defense against the spirit.
That's so helpful. That is so helpful. And of course, one of the great tools we have in really living A Course in Miracles, really working those lessons, is to, on a moment-by-moment basis, look at where we're seeing this human experience for what it is. It's an illusion, it's a projection of the mind, or we're making it real. So our expanding awareness, and the miracle of expanding awareness, really requires us to understand that our experience is an illusion, that it is a projection of our mind. And let me ask you a couple of questions related to that. So first of all, do we know we're making it real versus understanding it's an illusion?
Well, the simplest way to know that you're making something real is to pay attention to your emotions. And there's a whole gamut of ego emotions. We could say all derivatives of fear, but fear and guilt, anger, shame, all the way to irritation and annoyance. You know that you're making the error real. You're believing that that there's something amiss or that there's something that is upsetting. And also there's a tendency to attempt to justify that upset. And that's all just, you might say, a telltale sign of making the error real. So whenever your emotions come up and rise up and you're not really feeling that peace and love and joy and happiness, then whatever that upsetting emotion is, that should be just a reminder that, that your mind is calling for love. It's calling for the miracle, another way of looking at what is presenting itself.
So having that awareness, walking through your life, one of the places where some people get caught sometimes is they are in this intellectual approach where they will literally look at someone who's going through a difficult time and being upset, and they'll say, well, don't make it real. You know, yes, your child died, but this is just an illusion. And that's not helpful to anyone when people are, their knee-jerk reaction to any experience is, in a sense, to shut it out by saying, this is an illusion. So how do you work that that place between knowing what the emotions are for so that they are actually helping you to expand your awareness versus closing your mind to what the emotions are for? How do you work in that day-to-day using the emotions to help you expand your awareness?
Yeah, I think emotions are just triggers or indicators of a need for a shift in thinking or a shift in perception. And so it requires a great deal of self-honesty, because we're talking about allowing miracles, and part of allowing miracles is allowing your emotions to be what they are, to come to the surface, and then allowing yourself the opportunity to pause and to choose again. So when it comes down to other people, it's very, very important to remember that it's always your own lesson. So when you're speaking something about that's not real, don't make the error real, or that's not a real emotion, or telling people that this circumstance is an illusion or whatever, I think the best rule of thumb is to come back to, don't really speak to someone about something that you aren't fully aware of yourself. And so we might say this idea that the world's an illusion is something that is a very, very, very high state of mind. And it takes a lot of mind training to come into that state of mind. And so it basically shuts off the getting in touch with emotions when that is used as like a catchphrase to dismiss something. Because if it's used repeatedly just to dismiss or deny, then it's not really allowing for the miracle to fully come into awareness. And it's just a judgment, and it's kind of a way that just shuts off the opening to the miracle. So I would say that that's one of the common defense mechanisms that Course in Miracles students come into, is going around and saying, don't make it real, that's just an illusion. Jesus never did that. If you look at the Gospels, he certainly did not teach in that way. He brought presence, and he was very much into listening and being fully present with everyone, and he gave us a bottom-up approach instead of a top-down approach. And I think this idea of just calling things an illusion and telling people not to make it real is a top-down approach, and that's certainly not something that Jesus is advocating in A Course in Miracles. And he certainly didn't demonstrate that in his demeanor and his teachings, even in the Gospels, in the Bible.
So what exactly is a bottom-up approach then?
Well, it's tuning into the Holy Spirit as to what to say or what to do, and letting the Holy Spirit, if there are even words to be spoken, letting the Holy Spirit speak them. It's really looking at people with charity and looking for the Christ in them, seeing the good in them, letting the words that they say or their behaviors just kind of float on by you as you don't make any attempt to correct them or advise them or change them or fix them. It was very striking to me that Jesus says, you know, don't correct a brother because he's always right, because he's the Christ. And that is some strong language. And that's something that takes practice, because most Course in Miracles students, the first reaction is to want to correct somebody, give them advice, or give them a metaphysical teaching instead of just listening to them and tuning in to their Christ presence.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get emails from time to time from people who ask me, what do I believe about this? Energetically, that what they're doing is looking for me to say something that they can correct me.
Yeah, like a bait.
Yeah, exactly. It to be right, and they're superior. And of course, it usually happens with very long time who are only well, I don't know, but it's a thing, and I thought about the Christ. If you're wondering what to do, just see everybody as the Christ. And then you will know if there's something for you to do. And there, all the worries, the fears, the doubts will fade away if you can do that one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the gentle practice and focus. It's a practice of non-judgment. It's a practice of acceptance, of charity, and it really brings immediate results. I always like that saying that infinite patience yields immediate results, because when you're in infinite patience, you're just in a place of acceptance, and you're not putting meaning on the behaviors and trying to figure out what you're going to say next and so forth. You know, it's just a soft presence with that. And to me, that's been my life of putting the Course into practice and not necessarily trying to tell people, you know, what to believe or how to think, but just being there fully present with them. And then whatever comes through, it comes through very involuntary. And you can tell that it's of the Spirit when it just rolls out very easily and gently, and it has a real strong and voluntary nature to it.
Oh, that's so beautifully said and so true. Yes. When it feels so graceful. David, how long have you been studying A Course in Miracles?
Well, I started in the summertime of 1986. And so that's just when the practice began, and it was quite intensive at the beginning. And then I'd say it got more into practical application and just guidance as the years rolled along.
And when you started with A Course in Miracles, how were you feeling in your life? What difference has it? Did it start to make for you when you started practicing the lessons? And did you start doing the workbook right away?
I was really in the text and pretty much using it at the very, very beginning. It's like almost like an I Ching, where it was very practical for me to have a prayer in mind and then to just pop open the book and receive answers. And you might say that really strengthened my confidence in the book and in the practical nature of the book. And then it was probably a couple years before I really got into the full day-to-day practice with the workbook. And so it just kind of guided me in and led me in gently, but I felt like it was touching a very deep part of my heart with the way that I was using it at the very beginning. And then once I could see the effectiveness and that this was my full escape from the world, the thoughts of the world, then that's when the practice of the workbook just came to me very naturally.
And do you have, I know I was going to say advice, but suggestions really for who read the book on their shelf for a long time and they're curious, but maybe even a little intimidated about starting to work the lessons. And there might be some trepidation about that there would be some sacrifice that they would have to make if they were going to allow their awareness to expand. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would say that just from my travels around the world and all these 49 of the United States and all these different countries, that I hear many stories of how the book kind of makes it in to the house or onto the bookshelf, and people will read a lot of supplemental books or books that mention the course, but actually when it comes to the point of actually picking up the course and really applying themselves and diving in, there's many, many stories about how they tried and then it just something felt a little uncomfortable, where there felt like a little bit of a push or sometimes a little even coercion. And I think it's because the course is such a strong tool, such a powerful tool that somewhere deep in the mind, they know that that they have to be ready for this book. And when they're not, I think it is helpful to just read the books that you feel a resonance with, almost like they're like tributaries or streams that are kind of leading the mind into the readiness of the course. So it's very common for people to read Eckhart Tolle and Marianne, of course, and Jerry Jampolsky and Gary Renard, and there's lots of books that seem to be stepping stones that take you towards the main stream. And then one day it just dawns like, oh, it's time. And so that's beautiful to not put any pressure on yourself.
Only the ego would put pressure.
Yes. Yeah. Like something hanging over, like, oh, I have to do this now. You know, it's the spirit doesn't work that way. It never commands and never demands.
Yeah, and working the workbook to even, you know, some people can really get into, they have to do the lesson a day. And for many people, they're reading the lessons, but they're not actually working the lessons. And many people will go through the workbook many times before they really start to work those lessons, really do more than just read them or contemplate them, but actually apply them throughout the day. And, you know, one of the things I love so much about the workbook, too, is it's you don't even have to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
Don't have just to keep, believe it.
Yeah.
You may even actively resist it, I think he says at one point in the instructions, but this does not matter. Just do it.
Just do it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And so often in the course, it really talks about, it's what I call give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit, that if you have this willingness, then everything you need will be supplied to you. And, you know, there's that section that talks about how the mighty companions or the beings of light on the other side will literally pull you across if you're willing.
Yeah, I love that. It's just there are so many symbols that the Spirit uses, and it's really tailored or individualized to the mind that's awakening. So when you just have that willingness and that trust, then the form is up to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to figure out the form. You can just really trust that whatever lesson you're to learn, and however you're to learn this forgiveness lesson, it will be presented in a way that it will get through. It will register.
And one thing that I know that I've heard you talk about many times is really how the Holy Spirit uses everything. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to us, always. And so there's a tendency to question, well, is this a message from the Holy Spirit or not? And so as people are going through their life, how do people recognize that the is speaking to them? Because I really love that you're always receiving the messages from the Holy Spirit. How do people that awareness?
Well, I think it's not only an openness in mind, but taking the parameters off of these beliefs that it has to come in a certain way. Like sometimes people are waiting just for an audible voice, or they only think that it comes through one person, and they're just waiting and waiting for the answers from this one person. And my experience has shown me that these little nudges and these little prompts come flooding through into awareness in many, many ways. And so I will pay attention to the most subtle things that seem to be around me. And when I'm taking a walk, or when I'm talking to someone, or I'm listening to the background music, even at a cafe or a restaurant, I just stay really open and aware for these signs and symbols. And really, that's a practice, because when you have a set way that you believe that it's the only way that you're going to be communicated with by the Holy Spirit, then it puts a strong limit on the power of the mind and really on the ways that the prayer can reach you. So I feel like that's the most important thing when someone goes into this spiritual journey, is to be as open-minded as possible. And that means stay open to a wide variety of symbols.
Yes. Yep. It is an amazing experience or a shift in awareness to be able to recognize that everything is symbolic. And it's very helpful.
Yes.
It's very helpful. And that coincides with understanding that there is a script that's been written. And that's a very common question for people. And as people's awareness expands, they begin to clearly perceive their life as a script unfolding. So if you were going to help someone to understand how to perceive things as a script, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say, first of all, that what you perceive is what you believe. So this deeply rooted belief in linear time is what makes it seem like a script or a movie. And then you can start to see that the things that you value strongly really color the script. You know, it's like some people seem to just happily go through their day kind of singing a song and rejoicing, and I think it's because they value that deep peace of mind, they value that harmony, that love, and therefore they perceive a script that really is flowing along and reflecting that deep desire of their heart. And when people get into what seems to be having a dark outlook on things, very pessimistic, critical, then they interpret these events and these situations in a very, very negative way. And once you have a glimmer of that, then you start to see the power of the mind, and you open towards greater empowerment, which is really our topic about expanding awareness. You know, we've heard of it in the 60s as raising your consciousness, and we've heard it in each decade. There's maybe different buzzwords and ways of describing it. But it's been around us. You and I love movies, and we see this shining reflection, you know, in various movies we've seen along the years. And, of course, music reflects it so much. And you know, that's the key, I think, when you start to realize that you are responsible for your perception, you are responsible for sight, then you put more of an effort into noticing and keeping your mind clean and clear, because you realize that the world you perceive is going to be a direct reflection of that state of mind.
Yes, and the greatest tool that we have really is this tool of forgiveness. And it's interesting sometimes how people will study A Course in Miracles for a while and not really understand what forgiveness is or how to apply it. And so how would you help us understand forgiveness as taught in A Course in Miracles?
Well, to me, it all pivots on the teaching around guidance, because in a practical way, if I just am raised with this belief that there's an external world and it has external causes, and you're forced to do certain things, you're literally determined by the environment, and you're shaped and molded by the environment and the people and the culture, then, you know, you don't have an awareness of the power of the mind. You don't have an awareness of the power of thought. And when you make your decisions, they're all based on past learning. Whereas forgiveness says, oh, there's another way. You can have guidance. You can become extremely intuitive. You can even become 100% intuitive, where you do not react and respond to the images and the appearances anymore, that you are empowered to live a very inspired life, just living in your heart and letting that love radiate, and that actually you will receive very practical guidance about what to say and what to do, where to go, so you don't live in a vacuum. You actually live a very fulfilled life based on this spiritual guidance that is leading you. And you just are not at the mercy of an external world with this forgiven perspective.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautifully said. And it's so true, because it's not that you won't have challenges, but your experience of them becomes so very different.
Yes, it's like you, even when you have a challenge or what you perceive as a crisis, you can tap into this wisdom that literally lifts you up and carries you past it. And then the more habitual you become in this miracle mindedness, I would say the less likely you are to interpret a crisis. You become so lighthearted and happy that sometimes I use the example of like Mr. Magoo or Chauncey Gardner because they're so innocent that, and in some sense clueless about the world, that that they literally are beyond it. They transcend the problems. And isn't that what we've always wanted, was just to transcend this perception of there being a problem?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know, as you're talking, David, I'm thinking about someone who feels, because there are people listening who might feel that life is really burdensome and they feel trapped or overwhelmed or confused, that they're studying spirituality, but the sense of burden and stress and drama is not lifting off of them. And truly, this practice of forgiveness will transcend all of that.
Yes.
It transmutes it.
Yes, that's a good word. It does transmute it. Because you don't attest how you feel to external events. And and you aren't gauging the measure of your life with achievements and accomplishments and things that seem to be very, very external. You feel this love welling up in you and this deep gratitude. And I think, to me, I just have an experience that everything that I am and have comes from my source, comes from God. And therefore, the focus is off of things and stuff and appearances and outcomes, and it's on this glorious state of mind that is the gift of our Creator. And I know you and I have talked many times about how honored and blessed we feel to live an inspired life. There were times in the past where you and I felt quite burdened and quite trapped, and that's important that we actually will say, yeah, that's the way it was, and now it's different, because it's got a whole different focus. There's been trust that's developed through practicing these miracles and opening ourselves to these miracles. And so that's just more of a symbol. We can't do it for anyone else. We can't make anyone see a certain way or be a certain way, but we can let ourselves get out of the way so that the Spirit can extend through us. And if there's an inspiration with that, then, you know, I just feel an honor with that. That's just how it works.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you're sharing that. And while we can't do it for anyone else, because we're all joined, there's only one. If we're willing to see our brothers and sisters as they truly are, it assists us in seeing ourselves as we truly are, and it does transform the appearance of lack, limitation, separation, and one of the things I would like to ask you about, David, is going back to, you're talking about movies, love movies and all of that. I think it's helpful if to help people understand the illusion as being like a movie projected on the screen. And if you imagine yourself sitting in a darkened theater watching a horror movie, and I remember one time when we were in Hawaii, you went to see a like a horror movie, and I remember saying to you something like, you know, yeah, I don't really like to watch horror movies. And you said something like, if you don't judge it, it's not upsetting. And I thought, that is so true. If you don't have an opinion about it, it's not upsetting. And so if we think of ourselves as sitting in a darkened theater, watching, could be a horror movie on the screen, it can feel so upsetting to watch it if we're identified with what's happening on the screen and we're allowing our mind to buy the illusion. But if, let's say, a being of expanding awareness comes in the room and flicks on the light in that movie theater, then all of a sudden your connection to what you're seeing on the screen totally changes, because now you realize, oh, I'm in a movie theater with a lot of other people, and the experience of being identified with what's on the screen totally changes. So my question really is, can you help us understand the relationship of light to our experience of awakening? Because there are so many references in A Course in Miracles to light, to the great rays, to ourselves as light. Can you help us to understand that, and how can we apply that to our awakening?
Yeah, light to me is inspiration. And so when we pray, let there be light, or show me that I am the light of the world, it's like an activating of this amazing light that is within each of us. And in terms of movies, I see it in terms of like an intercession of a higher perspective, so that I've always appreciated movies where there's like some beautiful sayings that come in, or some pauses and interludes where I feel kind of lifted up, or my mind can soar. And so the way that that light, you know, comes into our awareness in a practical way is opening our hearts to this higher interpretation. And I found that instead of just watching the world or watching movies just strictly for entertainment or escapism, but to really be present and be in that place of show me what it is I need to see, that miraculous kind of antidotes and insights and flashes of this light come through. And that's been my practice with movie watching and receiving the Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment, and then putting an online version of it on. Because I'm like you, I love tools that are effective. I love any kind of mechanism or device that really helps me have like a major shift or breakthrough. So the light gets stronger and stronger as the interpretations get higher and higher. And that's been the blessing. There are quantum physicists and scientists that say, you know, we use just such a tiny fraction of our brains, which to me interprets as, you know, a tiny fraction of our mind. Mm-hmm. And now we have movies like Lucy came out this year with Scarlett Johansson, where she increasingly is able to use a greater and greater percentage of her mind and the power of the mind, and all of these skills and abilities we've heard about for years that are part of parapsychology, these psychic abilities, she just moves through the whole gamut of them and goes all the way back through the Big Bang and the forming of the world. She goes all the way back through history, and she comes to the I Am Light that's prior to the Big Bang, prior to all of this explosion of images. And to me, that is just a little snapshot of what's happening for all of us. And I had people go to see that movie with me who were having mystical experiences at the end of the movie, because they could feel it intuitively, like, oh my gosh, this is the pathway that my life is going to take.
Well, I love that. I haven't seen that movie. I've been in places where there really weren't movie theaters. I have to wait for it to come out, and or maybe it's already out. I can get it on online or something. It's true. We can have the most amazing mystical experiences. I love what you said in there, David, about really inviting that, inviting the miracle. So what are some ways that we can invite that, the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to invite those miracles into our awareness, just simple prayers, tools, quotes from the Course?
Yeah, I think it's finding something in the Course, if you're using the Course, that really speaks to you, like that prayer at the beginning of "I am here only to be truly helpful," that really appealed to me. So I thought, great, I'm going to practice it and use it internally, not speaking it aloud to people, but just internally. I'm going to use that when I go through a threshold, any doorway, I'm going to use it. And then little phrases, there's so many prayers in the Course, but just the ones that really appeal to you the most, you know, to just let that kind of fill your mind up. And then for some reason, it just like a joy and a glee started to really well up inside of me. And I just thought, oh, this is amazing. This is what I wanted all along. I would have given anything just to get that started, to get that spark started and kind of ignite that. And then once I did, then it's like, wow, the adventure of a lifetime. You know, you take off and you really never look back. You feel my feet have left the earth and I'm kind of soaring with wings and I have no intention of landing again. And that's just the way my life went. And yet everything practical is covered. You know, it's not like it's a kind of an airy fairy approach where you just try to, you know, pretend that it's not, that there's no darkness. You just actually get lifted up in such an authentic way that you really feel that you are the light of the world, and not in a personal sense or an egoic sense, but just in this vast experience that you're having. And it's just such a blessing.
Yes, it is. I love that. As you cross every threshold to say that prayer, "I'm here to be truly helpful." And it reminds me that years ago, I had the awareness that I could set the intention to be a loving presence, a healing presence in every moment, in every gathering, in every, you know, just going to the Starbucks, walking down the street, standing in line at the grocery store. Don't have to tell anybody about it. It's because what anywhere is known everywhere, but it's that willingness to be available for Spirit to work through you and as you, recognizing that's your greatest joy, is to be in that place of extension.
Yeah, and I can tell that you have devoted your life to this, because I was recently in California and I met someone and they said, you know, when Jennifer Hadley prays, everything just stops. It's just such, the presence just comes through. And when you give your life over to it, it's not so much in the words, but it's in the presence and the love and the devotion behind the words, that it's very, very striking. And it was just interesting for me to hear my friend talk about that in Northern California, how impactful that is. And to me, that's what our life is about. It's such an honor to give our lives over to that devotion. And then even when you walk in a room, or, you know, the most common, simple, everyday gestures, there's such a presence behind them that is the gift to the whole universe.
Yes, it is. You know, David, remember there was a time when I became very aware of holding myself back from God and to really be all in for God. And when I really became aware of it, I literally prayed many times and asked for guidance from all of God, you know, the Holy Spirit, the ascended masters, the angels, all the company of heaven. And I, of course, Jesus, just it's all to me and whatever we call it. And I really prayed fervently over and over again, do not let me hold anything more. Feel that temptation many times, but help me to break through that so that I am 100% available and all in for God. And I feel that there are times when there's a hesitation, there's a reluctance. And I don't mind it now because I know, oh, there's more purification. Awesome. Excellent. One more thing I can offer to the Holy Spirit for healing. How wonderful. But I think that for me was absolutely life-changing. Did you ever have an experience or a feeling like that?
Yeah, it seems like reaching a point of disillusionment or bottoming out was actually the contrast that I needed, you know, to rise up and say, no, that's not the purpose of my life. It's not the reason that I'm here. And then just this deep prayer of the heart, it grew so strong. And then it's like a momentum too. When we tap into that, we recognize the power of prayer. Then it starts transforming our whole perception of the world. But it seems like it has to have that starting point, that activation point that you're describing, to really kick it into full force. And then when that happens, then it just feels like it just grows and grows, and you know, you become a living prayer. Your entire life becomes a living prayer.
It's that prayer of the heart that words do not matter. Words have nothing to do with it at all, because what is known in our heart is known everywhere. As you share so often and so beautifully, there are no private thoughts.
Yeah, that's it. That's the realization that that our mind is so worthy of that love and light, and that little scraps of private thoughts and judgments don't really have any power, because they just don't exist. You know, we were created to be extenders of love and light, not to hold on to secrets, not to hold on to judgments and criticisms. And so it's not that we shouldn't judge, it's just for the awareness that we're not created to be judges, and we never will succeed at that.
Yeah, no matter how intense the judgment is, it will never, ever have any impact beyond our experience in the illusion. It's just a completely temporary thought and belief that is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. No matter how intense the judgment is, it's always going to be meaningless. So why not make an offering of it and ask for it to be removed from our mind?
Yes, exactly. That's the key. That's just to have that realization, like, well, I can just ask it to be removed, because it has no place.
Yeah, that's the big how. And it's interesting how often someone might hear me say, that's the how. Just make an offering of it. Give it away. I'm not interested in this anymore. And people come back and say, well, how do you do this? How do you do this? I'm like, you don't have to figure out how. Just allow the miracle into your mind. So I want to ask you another question, but before we do, I would like to, for the people who came in late, I would like to just mention that once the class is over, we'll be just cleaning up the recording a little bit. We'll post it on the website. We'll send you an email, and you'll have 48 hours from the time of that email to listen to the recording as often as you like. And so I encourage you, this has been such a rich class, and I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to listen to it again. And then tomorrow's my homework class at the same time and same place, and you'll have 48 hours to listen to that for free as well. And I also want to say again, thank you to the people who tithe and the people who purchased the silver, gold, and platinum packages of the recordings, the books, the CDs, and all those options, because people who actually make it possible for the many thousands of people to listen to the classes for free. And we thank you for that. It's a wonderful offering. And I also, before you, the final questions that we have time for today, David, I would also like to just remind people, how can they hear more from you? How can they participate in events that you have coming up? What are the websites for people to go to?
Well, there's a number of them, but I like to have real short domain names because they're easy to remember. So the couple that are coming to mind is acim.biz, B-I-Z, and acim.cc. Those are real easy to type in, and then there's just access to a lot of portals that have a lot of free audio, video materials, and mind training tools and devices and virtual communities around the world. But, you know, those are good access points.
Yeah, and David has wonderful opportunities to join with him all over the world, and to be a part of a beautiful community, and there are many resources in. So I urge people to go to acim.cc. Also, you can purchase David's books. The most recent one, Unwind Your Mind, Back to God, Experiencing A Course in Miracles, Awakening Through A Course in Miracles, Healing in Mind. He's got ebooks, and we were talking about movies. David mentioned his Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment, Waking Up with the Movies. It's a great book of David's comments and suggestions about movies, a really good collection of movies. I've seen quite a lot of them, and I love to go to the movies, like David says, and we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to take a look at that book. If you're a movie lover, you'll find some really good movie suggestions in there that you may never have heard of. So, so expanding awareness, miracles and expanding awareness, it's hard to summarize. We've really jumped around a lot here, but for anybody who is really committed to expanding their awareness and really remembering their true identity, what would you say is the most basic tool for them to use on a moment-by-moment, daily basis to take with them and apply?
Well, forgiveness comes to mind is the focus. And when you are opening to forgiveness and trusting the Spirit to guide you to whoever you need to meet, to whatever book or online resource or reminder that comes into your awareness, then those are setting you in a good direction. Because in order to really expand our awareness, we need to become habitually miracle-minded. And it's not so much about changing any kind of behaviors, because those are effects, but it's actually changing our thought system from one of fear to love. And that does take practice. Sometimes people will say, that sounds like brainwashing. And I say, well, it is mindwashing, and we need a lot of it. and so, you know, to be reasonable and to know that you have to give your life to it is important. But just to keep in mind that today I will dedicate my mind to forgiveness, and to wake up with that thought is a very, very practical thought, and it just will become a real good habit as you move along.
Yeah, you can flip the switch in your mind where you move from forgiveness being a burden, something difficult, to forgiveness that you give.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And it's just, it is something that becomes a habit, and you begin to rejoice. Oh, here's another thing I can forgive. Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. And for me, it's so helpful to recognize forgiveness is really just releasing the meaning I've made of it.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful, simple definition, you know, that you don't have to hang on to those meanings from the past anymore. They just don't no longer serve, and there's such a great option instead. So it's almost like I just sense the childlike glee and, oh, I can forgive something. That I can forgive this too.
Yeah. I often share that it's like that moment in A Christmas Carol when Ebenezer Scrooge recognizes he wakes up on Christmas morning after the ghosts of Christmas past and present have all visited him, and he realized he can choose again. And he's so elated that he does not have to cling to the past. He feels born again, and he doesn't have to know everything anymore. Now his mind is open. He actually is dancing around the room and saying, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And he's so gleeful. He's so gleeful that he doesn't know anything. And now he knows that he doesn't know anything. And of course, soon he'll realize that he knows everything that's worth knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that amazing joy that is just on the other side of true forgiveness. So it seems it's right there in our heart, and it's available to us in any moment. What a wonderful reminder, David.
Yes. Oh, thank you. This is just been a joy, as always, sharing these beautiful inspirations on your Living A Course in Miracles, and thank you for offering this gift, and you're just constant collaborations. You just have just such an open heart, and you have a gift of bringing people together in inspirational ways, and it just sends out a blessing to the whole universe. So I'm very grateful to be part of it.
Well, like attracts like. It's completely my joy, as you know, and what fun it is to use technology to transcend time and space, and we all get to join together. So for those of us who seem to be listening live and those who seem to be listening later, we're all together in the one listening to the Holy Spirit, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And thank you, David, for your precious life and sharing your expanding awareness with all of us. And what I know for myself and for everyone listening, that you represent that symbol of our awakening self, and that we don't have to struggle anymore. We can allow the miracle, and it's happening now. It's happening right now. So I am going to say a prayer and bless us all out here. And thank you for your precious gift of sharing and just the beautiful way you articulate things, David. I always treasure when we get to join together. All right, so let's all place our hand on our heart and remember that we're wholeheartedly here, joined together for this holy purpose of awakening in mind and expanding awareness. We're allowing ourselves to fully realize the circle is our true nature, it's our true identity, and that we are the love of God. We are that Christ light. And we're allowing ourselves to remember it fully and completely and to see it in our brothers and sisters. So grateful and so thankful to allow ourselves to live the unprecedented love, the unlimited love. So grateful and so thankful to allow our mind to open and to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit in each and every moment. We release any sense of lack or limitation and we step into the unprecedented, the unlimited, our true identity. I'm grateful to share the benefits with everyone because we're one with soul, to allow ourselves to live a miraculous life. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. Love you, too, and just keep up the good work.
You, too. Love to all.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.